now that you're here, Jesus, you're here, Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Well, if we open our Bibles this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And now let's skip forward to verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. You know, I always wondered what these things meant until we understood that Alpha has become Omega. What took place in the first church age must repeat again. If we turn then to Revelation chapter 1, and reading from verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. And then if we flip forward to Revelation chapter 21. We have a little bit of reading this morning before we get started, then we have more reading. So, Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And Brother Branham actually said, and I, John, saw the holy city of New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a comet, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and great and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Notice the seventh angel showed the bride what was to come. All right, he also carried seven vials. All right, Revelation 22 and 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am of thy fellow servants and of thy brethren the prophets, and them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Hallelujah. To give every man according to, as his work shall be, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they all might have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth come, say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the prophecy of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We've read quite a bit, but you're going to find as we get into the scripture, message this morning, that it all ties together. Now, we just bow our heads at this time in prayer, and let us pray. Dear Father, we have read from thy holy word this morning that you indeed are the Alpha and the Omega. You are indeed the first and the last, and that which was and that which is to come, for you are the great I Am. And we know that you, O God, change not, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then we can trust that what you did in your Son at the first coming of the Messiah ministry, the ministry of Christ the Anointed One, you indeed have done in this latter Omega time in ministry. For you said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Then help us, Father, to see what is left for us in this hour to yet partake of. For we have yet the resurrection ministry that you fulfilled in your Son, Jesus Christ, in the Alpha, to be yet repeated in this last Omega. Show us the scene, Father, and the things that we must look forward to as we see the earth corrupting itself and going through its birth pains, getting ready to be made over into the new earth and readying itself to receive the new Jerusalem, which shall come down from heaven like a comet, as your prophet told us it would. We know, Father, in the natural, the woman must change fully into her wedding garment before the great time of union. And we see that your bride has adorned herself in your word. And now it is time for the earth to strip herself of her mantle, her outer clothing, to be dressed in the glorified spoken word condition that she will need to be in to receive the bride and the groom. O Father, let it be done unto us according to thy word. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I would like to look at the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, most places we talk about the resurrection itself, and usually on Easter morning, it's nice and bright and sunny, and it doesn't seem to be that way this morning. So we're going to talk about the doom and gloom that surrounded the resurrection. You know, several years ago I had a dream, and I know we don't go by dreams, but when I mentioned the dream to Brother Vail, he said, Brian, that's exactly what it was in around Brother Branham. And the dream was this, that I was sitting in Brother Branham's living room over there in Jeffersonville, and there was chairs, not quite like this, more like the blue ones downstairs, kind of just folding chairs in a circle. There's eight of them. And I was just sitting there by myself, and I was kind of here, and then there was one more chair here, then one here, and then around like this, and kind of an oval. And I was just sitting there and just praying, and then I noticed Brother Branham had walked in, and he sat down to my right. There was a chair between us. And I looked up at him, and there was such a reverent fear, such a reverent, and not a fear like afraid, but just a reverent awe, might be the better word, like a real holiness. And I looked up to him, and in very passive manner, I said, Brother Branham, would you mind if I ask you a question? And he said, Noah, that'd be fine. You can ask me a question. I said, Brother Branham, what will it be like at the time of the resurrection? And he looked at me very straight-facedly, and he said, it'll be like suicide. And I knew the minute he said that, he wasn't saying it will be suicide, but it'll be like suicide. In other words, there's no turning back. Your focus will be so much on going in that, like the Bible says, you know, if there's two in the bed, one be taken, one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. You know, so your focus is to be there. And so we see the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the same thing. We see the calamitous situation. It seemed like everything was falling apart for the apostles. Their master, their teacher, had been taken off the scene. He had been beaten to within inches of his life. The government basically had no respect. There was just total disorder and chaos. And so we see that same scene is beginning to come around. We see our brothers in Iran are being taken off the streets. We see in other countries the same thing is happening. And one day Brother Ram said it'll be done here. They'll close the churches down. They'll use them for storehouses and whatever. Now you ask yourself, why would they need a storehouse? Well, because when these things that are coming on the earth, and Brother Branham told us that California would go before the second coming. He said before he comes again. So if California is going to go while we're still here, and before the resurrection sets in, then, and you know that the results of California going in, you're talking about 1,500 miles and about 300 miles wide, a big chunk of stone going in. It'll cause such a great tsunami that Brother Branham said it would be over a mile high in some places. There's a scenario that they had in the Canary Islands where they were talking about there's a rock. It's only 3 miles wide and 1 mile, 3 miles long, 1 mile high, and it sits on a volcanic island. It starts with an M. I don't remember, like Mariana or something like that. And they said if that volcano ever goes and that rock slides in, it would cause a tidal wave that would be approximately 150 feet high as it hit New York, and it'd be traveling at 500 to 600 miles per hour. Now, we know the great damage that the tsunamis did in the last few years in 2004 and again just this year in Japan. There was more havoc caused by the tsunamis. You know, the earthquake didn't damage the reactors. They shut them down before. Well, what caused the reactor damage was the tsunamis. Well, you think about a one-mile-high tsunami hitting certain places. Brother Branham said that the water would be up to the hubcaps in Tucson, and that's 2,570 feet above sea level. I've looked at maps, our U.S. Navy map, and all these things. We're not living in a you know, twinkle toes time, you know, where everything is, you know, fun and dandy. We are living at the end time. And so the scene, if you can picture the apostles, everything was crumbling behind them. For the last few weeks of Jesus' life, every time they had a chance, the people were trying to kill him. They're plotting and planning to take him, and Jesus had to go into hiding. And we just find that it was not Easter bunnies and chocolate rabbits and that's not Easter, brother, sister. Easter was a great time of focus. Focus. And Jesus, as Brother Branham said, his greatest focus, his greatest victory was when he went forward from Gethsemane. Look, he was a man. He could have ran off to Greece or someplace and avoided all that. But he couldn't. It wasn't in his nature. He said, for this purpose have I come into this world. So this morning we're looking at the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ when God raised Jesus from among the dead. And I wish to examine that time that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ spent with his followers, his apostles, his disciples. And he met with those that he met with, and he taught during those 40 to 50 days that he spent with them during the resurrection period. We know William Branham taught us that the Alpha must repeat in Omega. And since God has already duplicated the ministry of his Son in the person of William Branham in this last hour, therefore we must look with eyes of revelation to see what those things are that still must come to pass in order to complete the Omega ministry in this hour. Now remember, Brother Branham taught us in paragraph 184 of his sermon, The Spoken Word is Original Seed. He said, God has promised us Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has been fulfilled, but it must be fulfilled. Now, this is 1962. Later on, he does say that Malachi 4, Luke 17, all these things have been fulfilled. But he says, for it is a germatized word of God, spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It is just before the coming of Christ a second time. Now, we know that this word fulfillment means to be completed. And just a few years later, Brother Branham said, from works is faith expressed. The last time he spoke on this subject, he said, then the works that the Holy Spirit is doing by these visions, never failing, promises never failing, all the apostolic signs promised in the Bible of Malachi 4 and O of Revelation 10:7, all of that is being fulfilled and proved by science. So if it is being fulfilled, it means it's not fulfilled completely to the point. And we know that it isn't because we still have the burning to take place. In Malachi 4, it says just before the burning comes. So the burning is part of that great time. For we have yet the great burning and the great gathering together unto him for the change of the body, the rapture of the saints, etc. Then Brother Branham tells us, and if I haven't told you the truth, these things would not have happened. But if I have told you the truth, they bear record that I've told you the truth. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the manifestation of his spirit is catching away a bride. Let that faith, revelation, fall into your heart that this is the hour. Now, if this is the hour, then this, as I said, is not the hour for some fairy tale. It's not the hour for us to be, you know, trying to gain as much as we can out of life. I had a very wonderful friend. He was also my boss for about 10 years. And, you know, he made a comment. He was a very dedicated Baptist as well. And he made a comment one day. He said, I hope the Lord doesn't come too soon because there's so many things I'd like to do yet. Well, you know, I hope the Lord comes before I have any plans to do any more damage to myself. Now we're going to go more into detail to the scientific bearing witness to the things that he foretold us would happen. But I'm still perhaps a couple weeks away from all gathering all the scientific, gathering all the quotes, gathering all the scriptures of what things are to transpire during this great time of tribulation and resurrection and pre-tribulation pressures that we are to see, because we won't be here for the tribulation, but we are here for the pre-tribulation pressures. Brother Brown called it a squeeze. And I wish to present, and how I wish to present it is to show you that the things that he foretold would happen, then show them in the scriptures, for we know that everything Brother Branham said, even every vision that he had, he took back to the scriptures. And then I wish to present the scientific evidence by words and pictures so that you can identify, see and identify that what you are receiving is, thus saith the Lord, by the lips of a prophet, his end time prophet, by the voice of God through his holy word, then woe unto us if we deny what God is doing. So if you have long-term plans for anything, that might have been good in the 60s and even 40s and 50s and 60s, maybe 70s and 80s. I don't see any long-term plans for anything. Brother Branham said that why would we write a history of things when there won't be anybody here to read it? It's coming, and we see the handwriting on the wall. This is not like the 70s. You know, and many of us remember 1976 coming, 1977. We thought perhaps it might. Brother Vail said, nah, too many things have to happen yet. And, of course, we thought, well, how could God crunch all these things together in a matter of a few days? Because the time clock was coming down. But we didn't understand it. Like Jesus said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. And that's the problem when you get focused on one little thing and not focus on the whole picture. But the whole picture is rapidly coming to an end. And actually it's coming to a beginning for us. Because on the other side, we're going to have a body that's glorified, in a glorified condition, never any pain nor sorrow. How God takes us out of here, that's his business, and the flashing red light of his coming. Brother Branham said, talked about those flying saucers. There's about 30 some quotes of Brother Branham talked about flying saucers. Now, I'm not a Star Trekkie. I'm not a science fiction fan. To me, it's kind of goofy. But Brother Branham said that those lights that they see are investigating judgment angels, and they will take you home one day. Now, that's as best as I can come up with. And like I mentioned the other day, I got an email from Finland. The brother said, well, you know, you mean you believe that that we're going to be picked up by flying saucers and little itty-bitty, you know, these little green people? And I said, where did Brother Branham say little green people? He talked about investigating judgment angels. All right? So it's going to be angels that come. He talked about those lights that people are seeing that he said are just vanished in an instant. And then he tied that in with the pillar of fire and investigating judgment. We don't know what's going on. He does. I mean, he did. He told us what was going on. And all we can say is what he has already said. But these things are happening. Now, this morning, I would like to have us examine the days of the resurrection when Jesus stood back here on earth after having been resurrected by God his Father. And for those who believe that Jesus Christ raised himself from the grave, as one man told me one time, he said, well, I don't know how he did it, but he raised himself. Let me just tell you that there's 26 different scriptures that say otherwise. Paul taught us that God raised up Jesus from the dead. In Acts 2:24 and Acts 2:32, The scripture says that this Jesus hath God raised up. In Acts 3:15 and 3:26, it says God raised up his son Jesus. In Acts 4:10, it says Jesus of Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead. In Acts 5:30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. In Acts 10:40, him God raised up. In Acts 13:23, 13:30, 13:33, and 13:34, and 13:37, it says God raised him. In Acts 17:31, God raised up Jesus from the dead. Ephesians 1:20 and 2 and 6 says God raised up Jesus. Romans 4:24, 6:4, 8:11, 10:9, God hath raised him from the dead. Galatians 1:1, God the Father who raised him from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:14, God raised up. 15:15, God raised up Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:14, he that raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead. Colossians 2:12, but God who hath raised him from the dead. 1 Peter 1:21, God raised him up. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, raised up his son. So who did it? God did it. And we're told that if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then it'll also quicken your mortal bodies. And that's these bodies. Now listen, here's the catch. There's too much little infighting. There's too much fussing amongst family members. There's too much fussing amongst members of the body of Christ. That ought not to be so. How can you be focused on little itsy bitsy teeny weeny little things like that, stupid things like that, when you should be getting your soul ready for going home? You ought to be in fear right now of being left behind. Especially when your attitude drifts into little nuances of the flesh. Because he that walks after the flesh is not of God. That's what the scripture says. It says that if you walk in the Spirit, then fulfill ye the things of the Spirit. God's not coming for a bunch of whiny little wiener babies. He's coming for sons and daughters that are adult and mature. That's what adoption is all about. You don't get adopted when you're sitting back there and fussing with your brothers like Joseph's brothers. They never got adopted. They were sitting there fussing and stewing and everything else while Joseph, at 17 years old, was light years ahead of his brothers in maturity. He was about his father's business. He had his focus right. Now, is your focus right or is it not right? I'm not chewing you out. I'm just saying, we've got to get our focus right. This spring could be it. And at the greatest, I see possibly next spring, but it's winding up pretty fast. Excuse me for the language. I'm almost let my emotions get involved there, and I never cuss. So, but it's getting to the point, brother, sister, that you better get yourself ready. Amen. Quit your being human. Women especially. You look at other women, and you analyze, and you compare. And the carnal Christian compares themselves with other people. The true Christian compares themselves with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so if your comparison is between you and somebody else or somebody else, well, they don't fit my standard. You're just carnal, period. But if your focus is on Jesus Christ and say, Lord, where am I coming short? And you wake up every day and say, Father, show me today where I have any shortcomings because I want to be right. I want to be pleasing to you, God. Then God will deal with you. Then you're getting ready for... Look, you're running out of time. God has waited 46 years now to take us home. And Brother Branham said the only reason why he didn't take us home back then was the people weren't ready and we're still not ready. But there is going to be a handful that will be ready. Just make sure you're one of them. You understand? Okay. Can I hear an amen from the whole congregation?
Amen.
All right. Now that we've established just who raised up Jesus from the dead and it wasn't his own self, let us look at the time of the resurrection to see the scene that prefixed the timing of this great resurrection from the dead. In Matthew 27 and verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Now, there's a period here. Now, if you'd open your Bibles, and we're going to study this through together. But notice Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, and remember, the Lord descends with a shout, which Brother Branham said is a message, with the voice of the resurrection and the trump of God, which is the catching away. So here we find Jesus hanging on the cross, and when he cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Now there's a period there. He died. It's over. The ministry, it's over. That brings to conclusion the ministry of Jesus Christ pre-resurrection. At that point, nobody knows what's going to happen. It's done. The prophet's off the scene. I'm bringing it to the Omega. In other words, what took place before his death was one part of his ministry, and we would call that his earthly ministry. But what takes place after his death, after his yielding up of his spirit back to God, and his death is altogether another ministry. People talk about the return ministry of Brother Brown. It's not a return ministry. Brother Brown talked about the new ministry. The tent, he said, was a new ministry, not a return ministry. A new ministry. It's a resurrection ministry. He even told brothers, it's for the time of the resurrection. Even the angel said, watch the resurrection in there. Speaking of the tent, speaking of the little room. There's a period there. Brings to conclusion. Okay? So Matthew concluded one thought here, and that was the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. But when he begins the next sentence, he is also beginning another thought. And that thought is the beginning of another ministry, and that is what I want for us to focus on this morning, if in fact we are to understand the resurrection ministry of Jesus Christ, and then to be able to look at this Omega time that we're living in now to see what the indicators are for us to be looking for and readying ourselves for this great time that we have laying just ahead of us. Now, if you believe that California is going to go before the second coming, then you better be preparing yourself for some pretty tough times. All the maps and things that I have, I've done a lot of research, and we're going to lay it out for you so you can see it with your own eyes, and we'll distribute it so you can have copies of it to study and pray over. And the things that I hear Brother Branham say, there won't be a Florida left. The East Coast will be gone. West Coast will be gone. The Mississippi is going to be, it's going to go backwards and be such a great tsunami there. It's going to split the nation. It's going to be two countries or two pieces of land. It's not going to be one big happy country anymore. And it hasn't been too happy in the last about decade and a half or two decades. It's been getting worse and worse. Because why? Because she turned down the voice of the Lord their God. And if you want to know what's going to happen to this country, just go to Deuteronomy 28 and look at the curses. Because the curses are on. And when Brother Brown threw that rock up in the air, the judgments started. 1964, they've been here. And California began the judgments. And when Jesus died on the cross, it was a great earthquake. And that ended it. Now listen, there's going to be another earthquake. And we're going to find out. Well, we'll just get into this just a moment now. So we're looking at a scene, and not a very happy scene, like Brother Branham told me. And listen, right after he said, you know, he told me, they said, be like suicide. And they looked at me, and I knew what he meant. I'm going to have to be so focused. I can't look back. There's going to be pulls to make you look back, but I'm not going to look back. I'm going to go step forward. And it's going to be like faith. But Moses, Brother Branham said, when God said to Moses, speak and go forward, he said if Moses would have only spoke and not put his foot into the water, nothing would have happened. He had to put his foot into the water, and brother, sister, you're going to be tested to see whether your faith is in this message and the things that God has given us through his word, or whether you can maybe take some governmental plan. Maybe you can get a little bit of food from some camp. Maybe you can get a little bit of help from the government. Listen, God is here to destroy all governments. All high places shall be made low. And this is the hour of the literal mountains melting away. And Brother Brown told the brothers in South Carolina, when he was down there preaching, he said, these mountains that you see all around you, very beautiful mountains, he said, one day they're going to melt away. This is the hour, brother, sister, that the earth is going through a shaking. It is in the process of wobbling. Did you know that? All the scientists are talking about the wobbling. In Isaiah 24, it says that it'll stagger. The earth will stagger like a drunkard. Brother Ram even used those words himself. We're in that hour, brother, sister. Get your focus off the little, you know, the little girl things, you know, and the little boy things, and just, you know, the little teasers in life. Get yourself focused on prayer. I'd like to ask a question, but I don't want to see your hands because I don't want to embarrass you. How many of you pray an hour a day? How many pray half hour a day? How many of you pray 15 minutes a day? Fervent prayer. How many of you pray 5 minutes a day? You can't even honestly sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Why? Because the revival fires are over. Brothers came to Brother Brown and said, why can't we pray anymore? Brother Brown said, the revival fires are over. Then you've got to press yourself to it, brother, sister. Because in your prayer, it's not God give me this, God give me that. It's God, take from me the desires that are anything that would be contrary to your desires. And mold me and fashion me after the image of your firstborn son who is obedient in all things. That's where God wants us to be. And hopefully there's going to be a real quick ripening take place. But it's going to be prayer, because Brother Brown said you can't pray enough. So we see that Matthew concluded in that one period the life and ministry of Jesus Christ in the flesh. But then after that one period, we find something take place. We do not wish to be like the apostles who went into hiding after that period and were so confused that they were entered into a time of a great fear and great hiding. The world's getting ready. People are building bunkers underground. The governments have spent themselves into destructive financial waste by building all these underground cities. When Rumsfeld was asked about 3-4 years ago, at Congress, he was put on the hot seat, and they said, you know, you're Secretary of Defense, and there's $2.3 trillion, it wasn't billion, $1 trillion missing. He said, I don't know where it's at. Now, he lied through his teeth because he does know where it's at. They've got a complete city under Denver, Colorado. They've got all kinds of them. They've got all these FEMA camps. For why? Why would you need FEMA camps? Why would you have to have millions and millions and millions and millions of body bags? And why would you need all these body bags that are waterproof? Because they know what's coming down. And Brother Brown prophesied what's coming down. And the people sit back in slumber and say, oh, glory, glory, glory. Well, let me tell you something. It's not a time of glory. Those disciples stood there and they watched their master crucified. The worst form of death that could be given to a man. They saw his skin just hanging in pieces. How many have seen the Passion of Christ? I remember sitting there watching it, and I don't go to the movie theaters, but, you know, I mean, I have a few times in my life, but I went for this one, and I think I went 3 times to see it. And I wept through the entire thing 3 times. And some woman sitting behind me, she says, oh, that's not the way it was. She said, oh, that's just too gory. It didn't. And I said, ma'am, I said, have you read the accounts of Scripture? He was whipped so bad that his skin peeled from his side. And they did a pretty good depiction of that skin just coming off in lumps and chunks. And that's the way it was. Why? Why did he do it? For you. And you can't even get yourself under control. Can't even control that little member called the tongue. My, my, my. All you need to do to control your being is to control that tongue. And how do you control the tongue? By controlling your thoughts. If it's not God's thought, let it go. You understand?
Amen.
All right. In his sermon, Christ revealed in his own word, Brother Bram said, men now and people today are in such a neurotic condition, the whole world. So we see that this neurotic condition is to be a worldwide mental condition that has come upon mankind like a trap. And that is exactly what we were taught by Jesus Christ in the Scriptures, as we see in Luke 21:34, where Jesus said, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. So what do we have to look forward to? Dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Just as we see the Laodicean condition in Revelation 3:14 of being naked, blind, and miserable is a universal condition as well. Brother Bram said, as a person who would walk around naked and then doesn't know it is either mentally gone or demon-possessed, and we see the people looking like a bunch of hell-bound freaks today. You can't hardly even go to a seminar or go to any place of where there's a population of people and somebody bend over and you see they're plumbers. You know what I'm talking about. It's filthy. They're insane. Only people that go around showing their body parts, they're mentally gone. In the 1920s, if a woman showed her knee, she was hauled off by paddy wagon for being insane. She was brought to an insane asylum. But they've done away with insane asylums. Why? Because Congress is full of insane people. If you look at the number of criminals we have in Congress, extortionists and everything else, hundreds of them. That's the people that get into Congress. A bunch of liars and cheats. As Brother Vail so many times said, a politician can't make a right decision. Be careful, or your heart will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. So what's an anxiety? It's something that you fear, something that you see, something you're anxious about. That's what an anxiety is. It's something you worry about. So the term neurotic, which Brother Branham uses here, came from the word neurosis. Now, neurosis, according to Noah Webster, is defined as any various of psychic or mental functional disorders characterized by one of several of the following reactions: anxiety, compulsion, obsession, phobia, depression, disassociation, and conversion. And I did a series years ago, and we have a booklet on it, where Brother Branham we showed where Brother Branham was talking about this neurosis, end time neurosis, and we see that it begins with anxiety. You worry about what might happen. And so in worry about what might happen, you begin to do compulsive things to try to prevent that thing from happening. And that compulsion leads to obsession. That obsession leads to a fear, a phobia. That a phobia leads to depression, and that depression leads to disassociation. You cut yourself off from others. And finally, it leads to conversion, which is full-blown neurosis. Therefore, we can see that these seven attributes, which when one leads to the other, it brings a person to a neurotic condition. How can you blame the people? Honestly, in the natural sense, these are not spirit-filled people. These are carnal people. But in 2 Timothy 3:1, I'd like to read it from the Amplified Version. It says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear." The only place you're going to find that you can go in this hour is to Christ. My brother answered, "The hybrid foods and the tensions are rottening the bodies." And thus, if it rottens the bodies, then the brain is part of the body. Just look what it's doing. So tensions or stress are to be a part of the end time scene that we are experiencing right now. And this was the same tensions and stress that the apostles were feeling when they had lost the one that who they had trusted was the Messiah. And yet the powers of the government came down against him, and that was it. Or so they thought. Now Jesus has set the tenor for what was coming. And he said in Mark 13:8, right before the end of his own persecution, trial, and the ending of his own life, he said these following words. He said, "For nation shall rise against nation." And they saw Rome had come in and took over Israel and other nations. "And kingdom shall be against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places." And there was many earthquakes in those days. "And there shall be famine and troubles. But these are the beginnings of sorrows." And what we've entered into since 1964 are the beginning of sorrows. Only these sorrows don't let up. They steadily get worse and worse and worse. If you look back to 1960s, the amount of earthquakes in the world was just handfuls compared to what it is today. On a daily basis, you're talking about 150 around the world. If you look at Alaska alone, look at the map, it's just completely ringed. Completely ringed. Why? Because it's going to be under the sea one day. Now we know that he was speaking of the end of the world, but how did the apostles know that it was not the end of their world right then? Many of the things he warned them, and they were afraid that these same things were going to take place in their days as well. In Matthew 24:7, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." In Matthew 24:3, he said, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming," of thy parousia, that word is parousia, "of thy presence among us, and of the end of the world." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So it's going to be a great time of deception. "For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ." In other words, they're Christians. They're coming in his name, Christians. And they're saying, "I am Christ, I am anointed, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in many, many places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Did you hear what I said? The love of many shall wax cold. And Brother Branham said there would be no more, there wouldn't be any love outside of the elect. But he that shall endure unto the end, and so God's looking for those that can endure, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we have a setting of doom and gloom. Not roses and pixie flowers and pixie dust from the fairy tales. We have a setting of doom and gloom that we've come into. And Jesus was speaking about. That was given, and it was given to the people by Jesus that the end of the world would be in such a chaotic state that it would seem that every man would be in that would be at that of every man would be at his neighbor's throat. And we're seeing that condition right now in Greece, riots in Iran, the people rise up and the government kills them down. In Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, Jordan, Yemen, and Egypt, not to mention Saudi Arabia. Not to mention what we saw a few years ago in France, the burnings. Mile after mile of you know, young kids rising up and burning cars and looting and everything else. What about Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq? And all across Europe, the people rising up against their governments. And even in this country, the United States, there's a Tea Party formed, which is the beginning of the people's revolution against the autocratic government that we've entered into. Those are just signs of the times. These are just manifestations of the spirit that of the age that we're entering into. These things are just fulfillment of the prophecies of Jesus that he pointed us out. And having said these things to his disciples, they didn't think, well, this is for 2,000 years from now. They had no clue. They thought they were at the end time. They could see all these things taking place. And having said these things to his disciples, he did not put the picture together completely. And thus seeing the Roman legions in their country and the oppression of the nations under Rome, they supposed that they were living in the last days. So this is the atmosphere that Jesus had preached under for the last few years of his ministry. And then when he saw that, when they saw him die on the cross, they entered into a state of fear because, hey, they tried to kill him many times. He just walked right through them. But they did it. And if they can do it to him, what about me? And crucifixion is it's a terrible, terrible, painful, most excruciating way to die. They had seen one miracle after another after another. They thought he was invincible. But as Jesus met some on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, he said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have said." When they were given a glimmer of hope that it's not as you seem, not as it seems. Nothing is as it seems. And when they saw and they heard the testimony of Mary and Martha and the different ones, Peter, and yet they were still gloomy. We had thought, in other words, we had thought we're wrong. We were wrong to believe. And he said, "Oh, fools. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said." This time, when it should be, and it is amongst the entire world, it is a time of gloom and doom. In fact, there's websites called the Gloom and Doom Report, talking about the economic meltdown around the world. This should be the greatest time of anticipation for you. But it's not if your soul is not right, and that's your problem. If you knew your soul was right, and here's a kicker. If you could trust that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your stupidity, cleanse you from your evil thoughts, from your lack of control of your tongue, if you could trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, then perhaps it would change your ideas from the gloom and doom to a great anticipation of being saved from the wrath to come. So now we have the setting to begin our examination of the resurrection ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin in Matthew, in verse 51 of Matthew 27, if you'd open your Bibles, Matthew 27, verse 51. Now remember, Jesus was now dead. He was off the scene as much as they knew and understood. And so we pick up at verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. In other words, the earth was split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, comma, and. Now listen, this word and is a conjunction, and we know that a conjunction is going to link two things. So we must take notice what two things are being linked here by this word and. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept in the graves arose and came out of the grave after His resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So we have the earthquake that rent the ground. That means it was not just a tremor, but it split the earth. It literally moved the earth and split it. So this was an earthquake, a tremendous force here. And we see that when this happened, the graves opened up, and then many of those believers who were in the graves were quickened by that great earthquake. And it says that they came out of the grave, but I want you to notice that they did not come out of the grave immediately. At the time for Jesus was still dead and on the cross when that earthquake took place. But that earthquake started something. It was like God said, okay, here, period, boom! And that period of time was ended by a big period, a big earthquake. Now, another phase is beginning to start. You see? That earthquake started something, and it says that those who were in the graves were awakened and came out of the grave after Jesus arose from the grave. Why? Because he was to lead captivity captive. He was to be the first fruit of the resurrection. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, so to speak, we see the centurion look at what's taking place, and he says, and this has got to be more than just an ordinary man here, he says, this has got to be who he said he was. He's got to be the Son of God. Look at what's taking place. Now when the centurion, verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So we see the scene for the resurrection begin with an earthquake, and not just an earthquake, but one that shook the entire world and rent the earth and moved masses of the earth with such force that the graves were opened. Did you know in Japan, I've seen films of it, the Japan coast sank 3 feet down and moved out 10 feet. And the whole island of Japan moved 8 feet. And the North Pole moved, and the whole earth, they said, tilted when that little earthquake of 9.5 took place. What about when 1,500 miles by 300 miles slides right into the ocean? It's all honeycombed. Brother Brandt told us back in the 60s it's honeycombed. In these films that I saw, and I'd love for all of you to see them, if we just get some time where we just come and just in the evenings and just watch these things. The land was like on a waterbed. Water was gushing up out of the sewer pipes, gushing up out of cracks in the playgrounds. The kids were laughing. They thought it was funny. The earth was going opening up and shutting, just like in the days of Dathan and Korah. And water was belching up. Real funny. Maybe they were just laughing out of fear. Who knows? And they were having to get on all fours because the ground was just like on a waterbed moving. It's honeycombed. And the Bible says, and the islands fled away. Oh, but that's for some place in Star Trek's, you know, future. No, that's for this day. The island shall flee away. The new maps don't even show Japan exists any longer. New continents will spring up and other places will sink down.
There's a total changing because God is renewing the earth. And we are now in the time of sorrows. And when the bridegroom has to change into her garment, she has to take off the old to put on the new. Hallelujah. Amen. It's exciting, brother, sister. So we see the scene of the resurrection beginning with an earthquake. A terrible earthquake. With such force that it exuded. It caused great damage to other places in the earth as well. And here's the thing I want you to understand. It says, the graves were opened and many of the saints who slept arose. They felt it in that other dimension. That great earthquake quickened them in that other dimension. That was their calling. That was their whatever you call it, the dinner bell. Time to get ready to go back. To be led captivity captive. Brother Jack Bell called me the other day, and as we talked about his health, I mentioned hearing about Brother Louis Weatherford, that he had to have a couple stints put in because he had suffered a heart attack. And Brother Jack said, you know, he was so surprised himself because he said, to think that Louis, of all people, would have a heart attack. He said the man was so fit, there wasn't an ounce of fat on him. He had retired several years ago from Shell Oil as an executive. Didn't need to work. But he was up there on the ladders every day doing roofing jobs. Hired some boys in the church, and they've been doing roofing jobs just almost on a daily basis, running up those ladders with those 50-pound shingles over his shoulders. He said, I thought this would be the last guy that would ever have a heart attack. But he slipped off the roof, and when he hit a truck coming down. It jarred his body, and some plaque that was in the lungs was loosened up by it, and it caused a heart attack. Well, I finished working through that day, and it wasn't until a couple of days, and he had great pain when it happened, but he just kept working. A couple of days later, he thought he'd better go get himself checked, found out he did have a heart attack. But if the fall of a man from a ladder or the roof could jar his body, which is pretty pliable, how about a great earthquake jarring everything? When everything that can be shaken shall be shaken, that's what the Bible says. You understand what I'm talking about? If a man falling and it can cause damage to his body in other places than where he fell, what about when the earth, when that great earthquake comes, what damage? Brother Brown said it'll bring a tidal wave up the Mississippi. It'll reverse course. He said 50 feet high, it'll come up the Mississippi. And they're talking about with all the natural gas that they're pulling out of the ground by fracking fracturing the earth's crust. In America, the earth's crust is the shallowest of all countries. It's only 4 to 5 miles thick, whereas it's usually 8 to 10 miles thick in all the other continents. And they're fracturing it, and they're saying that around the Mississippi, it'll just drop. There's your 50 miles wide. It's coming down the pike, and we're living to see it. So the earth can receive a jolt so hard that it will cause the earth to move and split and do great damage, even very far from the epicenter. And so we can see the resurrection began by the earthquake, that jolt of the earth so great that it split open the graves, and many of the saints that had been sleeping in the earth were quickened back to earth again and were resurrected after Jesus came forth first. So this earthquake not only shook the earth, but was felt in that other dimension as well. So that was some sort of an earthquake. Now the Bible is replete with very powerful earthquakes that shape the events of the Bible times. And the one at the time of the crucifixion was only one of them, as we will see below. I've listed here only a few of them, but there's actually, and you can do some studies on the internet, there's about 24 or so earthquakes in the Bible. One place I saw had 17 listed, but I found others that were there as well. But the first time that there was a great earthquake was at the third day of creation, when God separated the waters from above from the waters from below. And there was a great jolting that went on. At the time of the Noah's flood, there was another great earthquake, and the earth was turned in all manner. At the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a great earthquake. And these are all scientific. I've got the data, if you'd like to see the data, the structures and the sediment, you know, all the information. The earthquake when Moses was on Mount Sinai, the earthquake that swallowed Dathan and Korah, and his rebellious lot in the wilderness. The earthquake at the fall of Jericho. The earthquake when Elijah was on Mount Horeb. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ in April of 33 and the resurrection of Jesus Christ 2 days later, April 5th of 33. In Matthew 28, verse 2, it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." So, not only an earthquake when he died. I believe that's why I believe that that's 1963. Because Brother Branham was very... He said, there's something there about that great earthquake. He said, the judgments are in the earth. He threw the rock up in the air. He said, now the judgments are in the earth. But there's going to be another great earthquake which will begin the resurrection. Hallelujah. Now, there are other earthquakes that took place during the time of the early church, but to save some time, we'll not get into them, except to mention that Paul was in prison in Philippi, and the earthquake set him free. What we see happening today concerning the earthquakes, we can see to be attributed what Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, which he called the beginning of sorrows. You know, how many of you sisters in here have ever had a baby? Just raise your hand. Well, did you only have one birth pain? No, but that first one was quite a startling thing. But you know what? They got more and more. You can expect it. And they get to the point where basically they get so bad that your body just tightens and then you give birth. That's what's happening to this earth. The earthquakes are getting more and more and more. It's a time, it's birth pains. Brother Branham called it birth pains. Even Jesus called it birth pains. The beginning of sorrows, that refers to birth pains. And then in the book of Revelation, we see the earthquake when the sixth seal opens to bring on the judgments. I believe this was the great Alaskan earthquake that literally was felt around the world. As Brother Branham even mentioned how it was felt in different countries all over the world. Brother Branham placed great significance in it. And it took place in conjunction with the opening of the seals. And of course the sixth seal itself. Now remember when there was an earthquake when Jesus died on the cross. But there was also a great earthquake when he was risen from the dead. And I believe that the California earthquake, which Brother Branham said would be before the coming of the Lord, will usher in the resurrection. And the world will be in such a mess and the nations will be underwater from the great tsunamis or what he called tidal waves, which is an American term. When I get to study that I'm working on together with Bible prophecies and Brother Branham's warnings and prophecies and then the scientific evidence and pictures and maps of the polar shift and all the pictures, it'll become pretty clear to us what's exactly happening right now. You know, we know that the earth is already tilted 1,100 kilometers, the magnetic pole, you see the core is moving inside the magnetic. Why? Because something's attracting it. There's being lining up at the conjunction of the planets. Brother Branham even talked about that. He talked about when the lining up of five planets. He said when Jesus was born, there was a lining up of the planets. And the world will be in such a mess and the nation will be underwater from the great tsunamis or what he called tidal waves which is an American term. And, it's interesting, though, that when he says he comes down with a shout, a voice, Trump, he says, comfort one another with these words. There's not a whole lot of comfort you see in the destructions taking place, but there's a comfort knowing that he's already come. His presence is already here. See? So if we were spiritual enough to accept the shout, can we be spiritual enough to continue into the voice of the resurrection? Hallelujah. Now that we've laid the scene for the resurrection and how it began, let's just look at the events of the resurrection. Let's turn to Luke 24 and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain other of them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how that he spoke unto you, that when you were in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must first be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day shall rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Idle tales coming from these women. Then arose Peter, and he ran unto the sepulchre. Why? To check things out. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village of Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about threescore furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned among themselves, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And as Brother Branham said, you talk about him and he will draw near. You see? But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which have come to pass in these last days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels. See, they call it a vision of angels. And when they found his body, the vision, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Resurrection ministry, going between the lines. Brother Brown said, when I get my tent, he said, I'd like to take 6 weeks and go between the lines. As Brother Vail said, we don't have enough faith to heal a hangnail. How are we going to get faith to receive a body change? And well, I hear people say, well, when I see the resurrected saints, that'll make me change. I doubt it. Didn't he say, though one were raised from the dead, they still wouldn't believe? It's going to take what happened here, going between the lines, understanding exactly what the scripture is all about, what God's promises are for us in this day. And they drew near unto the village, whither they went, and he made us, and then he made though as he would go further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as he thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Peace. But they were terrified and affrighted. And suppose that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while yet they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? Look, I'm going to show you. Spirits don't eat. And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and he did eat before them, showing them, look, here's more evidence, I'm back. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Again, went to the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and came up into the heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. What about this hour? You think as soon as Brother Branham comes back and the resurrection is on, that we're all going to be suddenly, he's going to be with us from that point on? And he's not going to be coming and going, doing things that God wants him to do? People say, well, you know, he missed it when he didn't kill that bear. And I said, listen, when Jesus came back, he went fishing. And he served fish and bread upon the fire. And if Jesus, who went out with the boys fishing, fished in his resurrected body, what's wrong with Brother Branham killing a bear to fulfill a vision in his resurrected body? I had another dream, and like I said, I believe that, you know, I mean, I've had many. And I don't say that this is thus saith the Lord, because I'm not a prophet. But we were in a great big place. We were all there in a great big place, like a huge tent, like a domed ceiling. Brother Billy Paul was talking to the people. Brother Billy Paul had his hair. He was much younger looking. And he was telling us the things about Alpha and Omega. He's talking to us all these things about, you know, the appearing and the coming. And these things, and he said, now, he said, see, he said, these things that Daddy taught, he said, now listen, Daddy's going to be here. He said, it'll be a little bit while more, but he's already here. He said, but, you know, he won't be out to meet you all till later on. And it was just a great time, like a family reunion. We're just so happy to be there. And it was just a great relaxation, a time of just peace. And we knew Brother Branham was on the scene, but he was not here yet in this tent or whatever it was. But Billy Paul was explaining that, look, all these things that Brother Branham told us, they're true, they're coming. He's here, he's going to come out and explain these things to you. And then I woke up. Now, I believe that was of the Lord. I believe the other one was of the Lord. I believe we're coming to a time, brother, sister, that our focus has got to be such. There is no turning back. There is no second thought. What about my brother? What about my sister? What about my cousin? What about my aunt? No, what about me? Am I going to be there? Am I going to be there? John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Then it was yet dark under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth in that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. In other words, John was bragging a little bit, but anyway, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple. You know, Jesus didn't just leave his clothing that they wrapped him in a ball. You know, this is just a little pastoral thing about you kids cleaning up your rooms. He folded everything and put it neatly. Just thought I'd add that in. And the napkin that was about his head was not lying with the linen clothes, but was wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away again unto their home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and she saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God. Yeah, Jesus had a God. And to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and he stood in the midst, and he saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I am going to send you. And when he had thus said, he breathed on them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now notice the very first thing that he told them after that he said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost, is verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Isn't it a sad condition that we retain people's sins more than we remit sins? Instead of being more able to say, I forgive you, brother. I forgive you, sister. We say, you remember back when you did this? You remember back when you did that? Come on. We've been given the ability to remit sins, put it under the blood, walk on, or to retain. Look, life and death lays in your grasp. If you've been received the Holy Ghost. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands and print of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were together, were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. That's this group here. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in the book. But these were written, that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. They saith unto him, Well, we'll go also with thee. They went forth, and they entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come now, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. Been fishing all night, not a bite. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find it. Now how many of you ever thought, Well, if I can't get on this side of the boat, I'm going to get on this side of the boat. You think, Hey, let's just move the boat, right? Is that what we do? But they had respect. And they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Just like when God killed more Canaanites on this side of the valley with the stones coming off of that whatever they call it, that planet that came through, that had the tail of all that cometary dust and everything else. And yet, maybe only a kilometer, 2 kilometers, maybe 3 at the most, across. Killed more of the Canaanites than all the army of Joshua had done, but didn't kill one Israel. You see how God, in the midst of all this chaos coming on, is more than able to control your destiny? All right. So what are we fearing? Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. And he cast himself into the sea, and the other disciple came in the little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giving them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon son of Judas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him a second time, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying of what death, that he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also had leaned on the breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is it that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to the Lord, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, look, get your eyes off of everybody else except for me. Don't make carnal comparisons. Well, you asked me three times, what about this guy? What's he going to do? Jesus said, forget it. Get your focus right. Get your eyes on me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So Jesus did many things, as Brother Vail said. I could imagine that he walked through the streets of Jerusalem, perhaps walking by and just touching this one, walking down another half a block and waiting. Turning around, waiting for that person to receive their healing. We don't know all the things that he did. We don't know all the things that will happen. But we do know that people went into that little box in that tent. And they came in missing limbs, missing body parts, and came out totally, completely whole. And the woman said to them, what happened in there? They said, I don't know. And the angel said, pointed to Brother Branham and said, I'll meet you in there. Watch the resurrection in there. Hallelujah. In closing, in Acts, the first chapter, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do both and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now listen, 42 days is 6 weeks. Brother Branham said, I'd like to have that tent for 6 weeks. Now some people are saying, well, he says 6 weeks here, 6 weeks there, 6 weeks here. And so they got a year and a half or something, I guess, stretched out. No, that's not scriptural. The Bible says that Jesus was around for 40 days. 40 days. Why? What does the number 40 mean? Deliverance. Is that right? To whom also he had showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanding them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall baptize with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He shall be baptized. Okay. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he saith unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the seasons, which the Father hath put into his power. But ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also he said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him come into heaven," or go into heaven. And finally, in closing, if we turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you be believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, for some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James and of all the apostles, and the last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all the rest. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how would some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain? Yea, we are found false witnesses then of God, because we have testified that God raised up Jesus from the dead, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. By man came also the resurrection. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall be delivered up of the kingdom, to God, even the Father, when he shall put all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not up? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by the rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, and I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is a glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, he's earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they that are also that are heavenly. And as they have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, beloved, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this study on the setting, the scene of the time of the resurrection. Because we know, Father, there was great sadness, great perplexity, and great pressures upon the people not knowing the next day. But when your Son came back to them, and went between the lines, they were able to see and to be able to, as he said, my peace be unto thee. And so they had peace and they had rest, and they were willing even to go forth and be crucified upside down and to have their heads cut off. That didn't matter to them anymore, because they knew that there'd be a resurrection for them. They knew that the sooner they got out of here, the better for them anyway. As the apostle said, that to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so, Father, help us, Lord, as we see these things approaching and encroaching. And Lord, we just ask you to help us, Father, to be focused. Help us, Lord, to be so set on going home that nothing would deter us. For we ask it humbly in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. May the Lord shed his light upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace. And